Coming up at the end of this segment, we'll give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Nats Friday, May 9th, as they take on St. Louis. After that baseball game featuring the Nats and the Cards, post-game concert series featuring our friends OAR.
Very cool. Right.
So we're giving those away at the end of this segment, so keep listening for your chance to win.
If OAR had performed yesterday, they would have had to endure 19 runs by the New York Mets.
That would have been a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't the best.
When
you're throwing your backup third baseman out on the mound for the last inning, that's not a good sign.
It's not great.
He looked like he was throwing 20-mile-an-hour pitches. Did you watch the
lollipopers?
He pretty much was.
That's what it looks like.
That's what those guys do. They can't throw it 97.
Well, maybe not for strikes.
That was a bad.
But James Wood hit another home run. He's up to 9, which is second in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, if you took the over on him,
he has more home runs than Aaron Judge.
Yeah, you're going to win that bet. Because I think the over-under on him heading into the season.
19.5, maybe 18.5.
It was laughably low.
Yeah, I was looking at the home run totals. Shocker, Mike Trout has 10.
Yeah, but
when he's healthy, he's great.
Well, his home run numbers are good, but look at his batting average.
I didn't look at it.
Is he windmilling otherwise? He's either hitting him out or striking out?
He was under 200.
Okay.
I'm guessing he's probably right around that number. He's at, 170.
Woof.
Yeah, woof. A wolf is a better hitter.
Not very good for him. All right, so we wanted to get into some audio we have of legendary Terp Boomer Esiason, who's been in the broadcasting game for many, many moons at this point. Here's him talking about Shedeur Sanders and why a bunch of teams potentially did not pick him in the NFL draft.
They took him off, and they took him off because the owner said, take him off. I don't want that guy. Shedeur Sanders just torpedoed himself. His attitude off the field at the combine, his dad didn't help him either. You know, he was on podcast talking about, this is my son. If I can get him to where I want to get him to, I'm going to do that. But, you know, when you listen to this kid talk right prior or at the combine about, if you want a new culture in your locker room, I'm the guy to do that. I can turn it around. I mean, he's very high on himself. And I think he was very off-putting to many, many coaches and general managers in the league. And I'm telling you right now, and I know this after talking to 3 different personnel people in the NFL this weekend, they didn't even have him on his board, on their board. They took him off. And they took him off because the owner said, take him off. I don't want that guy. I don't want this entitled person on our team. And I don't blame him.
So that was from WFAN's Boomer and Geo show.
I wonder if that was probably definitely the Giants. I'm guessing it was the Jets because his interview with the Jets was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows who the third team was.
But do you buy that he intentionally sabotaged these interviews because he didn't want to go to New York or didn't want to? You don't buy that?
No, because you're costing yourself money.
I think he had an overinflated.
I think that's just the way
I think he had an overinflated view of himself.
Yeah.
And maybe he was getting bad information, and they thought, you know, if you're uber talented, you can have those type of meetings, and you're still going to be the top pick. Mm-hmm.
You can be brash, and you can get away
so
with it.
So he thought he could just, instead of, you know, being humble, he thought he could just be an ass, basically, and still think he was going to be the number 3 pick or number 10 pick.
To me, that's part of where Dion has to step in and say, you just got to tone it down for the interviews. I know you're confident. You want to be confident, but not to the point where you're going to turn people off and they're going to take you off their
draft board. Some of the stuff that you heard is outrageous, like going in there with your headphones on or then maybe taking them off, but the music's still cranking.
Yeah.
Like that's literally outrageous in a job interview situation.
Accepting a FaceTime call from somebody else while you're in a room with NFL personnel, and you take the call.
Yeah,
Albert Breer had
that. Does
two,
sound like you're sabotaging yourself?
Albert Breer had 2 really good examples that he got from executives about the meetings, and this is definitely troubling. But again, I think Jason brought this up a lot yesterday, and I agree with him. If he was more talented, it wouldn't matter.
Right?
He's just good, according to NFL scouts.
Right?
We'll see. But Breer said, a lot of times in the combine meetings, teams will have a player's worst plays ready for him when he enters the room. And along those lines, one had a particularly rough interception teed up for Sanders in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
When asked to explain it, Sanders didn't take blame. And as they dove deeper into it and how it might relate to the NFL level, Sanders simply concluded that maybe he and the staff he was talking to might not be a match.
I mean, that's just...
Sounds like a really difficult guy.
Yeah, that's not a great way to explain it.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to be a really good actor if you're purposely sabotaging an interview because you don't want to play there. I just don't think that's
the case.
Well,
do you have to act? You could just go in there and just not care because you're like, because you have an overinflated view of yourself.
Yeah. Now, if you're a top 10 talent...
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
If you're a top 10 talent and you want to sabotage an interview or two, but you know you're not going to fall out of the top 10, okay, maybe I could see you doing that. But he had to know that he wasn't going to go top 10, like especially as we got closer and closer to the draft.
Clearly did not know.
But,
well, he's not self-aware, apparently.
The other thing about the Giants in particular, I heard one of these NFL insiders say, Daboll was in love with Jackson Dart since January. So Sanders never even had a shot with him. So Sanders, I'm not defending his actions, but he might have known that. He might have heard it, heard some whispers. Hey, this guy loves Jackson Dart. And so he might have gone in there with an attitude like, even if I was perfect in this meeting, he's not going to pick me because he loves Jackson Dart.
But you still should go in there. If you're a professional, try to win the guy over.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Put your best foot forward. Don't just go in there like with your headphones on, taking a FaceTime call, not paying attention, not doing the work that was assigned to you as far as like breaking down a play and how you would run this play in my offense.
FaceTime thing, I don't know if that's real or not. I trust Breer. Breer also wrote another visit. He got an install with mistakes intentionally planted in it. So they wanted to see if the quarterback would catch him. He didn't. Coach then called him out on it, and the resulting exchange wasn't pretty.
Right. It's like the $100 bill at the back of the playbook bit.
Yes.
Right.
Did you make it to the back of the playbook and that bit?
Why would it even matter if the Giants love Jackson Dart? There's no guarantee that they were going to draft him. The Saints could have took him at 9.
Sure.
And then what?
Yeah.
Giants still need a QB.
Well, even
that's
if
why you go and you be professional and you work your butt off.
And other teams need QBs too.
Yeah.
It's not just the Giants. I mean, Saints.
And you think the Giants aren't going to talk? You think Joe Shane and Daboll aren't texting their buddies? Hey, can you believe? You're not going to believe the way Shedeur Sanders acted when he came in here. This is a small, tight-knit fraternity of guys. They talk to each other.
This is, I'm telling you, the problem starts with the dad. That's why Deion is such an enigma, and I'm so torn on him.
Well, apparently Deion was like that in a lot of interviews, too, but he was so good.
Right.
So they weren't going to pass.
But Deion is like, there's so many good things that he does. I've seen so many examples of like good things he's done and good examples he's done with his kids, but then he also raises these kids this way, obviously. I mean, that they feel like they can get away with some of this stuff, that it's just, I blame the father. I blame the parents. The mom, too, I guess. I don't even know who the mom is.
I'm with you.
You know, if you raise your kid the right way, they're not going to act like this. Generally speaking.
True. Can't be like that.
You should know.
When this is a whole nother level. Right?
But his father isn't Colorado. Also said, I'm not going to let him play for certain teams. You know,
ironically,
outrageous.
One of his teams was the Browns.
I'm sure. I think he got drafted, and Drab disagrees with me. I think he got drafted in a horrible spot. I don't think it looks
good. Well, I just think he got drafted in a spot where he'll have an opportunity to play.
He'll have an opportunity.
But it's a horrible franchise.
It's a horrible franchise.
I mean, they went 11-6
2 years
ago.
He's the 19th quarterback on their roster.
It's going to be hard for him. I heard somebody break it down. Like the amount of plays, he's like, this is what happens in the NFL in training camp. He's like, you get 16 plays. He's like, they're going to go first unit. It's going to do
10,
four plays. Then they go twos. Then they get four plays. Then they go threes and they get two plays. And then he goes, if you're four, he goes, you might get one. And then they're going to go back to the ones. And they're
But at some point, listen, that's all true. But at some point, he's going to play somewhere in a preseason game. And the pressure's going to be on, and he's going to have very, very, very limited opportunities to show. Very few.
Well, that's what JP's saying.
Better make the most of them.
You're going to have you have a limited opportunity in the preseason games, but you're not going to have the reps in practice
100%.
To be prepared for it.
100%.
Unless Stefanski says, we know what Flacco and Pickett can do. We know what our vets can do.
No.
Let's just see the young guys,
they
third and fifth
rounder. They have very little invested in him.
Okay.
So it's all about what you have invested.
I agree. So that's why there's going to be a very small opportunity for him.
Yeah.
Unless he just blows them away and he looks like freaking Joe Montana.
He's going to have very little opportunities. He's going to have to kill it in those few opportunities.
Here's what we don't know. Does the kid take this and learn about humility and work really hard to do everything it takes to make the team first, to then move up the depth chart? Or is the entitled kid who's already made a bunch of money, the jersey sales, already he's number three amongst the rookies. Mm-hmm. He's made NIL money. He comes from money. He may just be out of the league in a couple years and be fine.
Correct.
You know, he may
That's
go down.
Probably bet.
He may go down the.
Unfortunately.
It's different, but the Johnny Manziel highway. Or.
Yeah, it's possible.
Or is he more like a Baker Mayfield? And now Baker Mayfield a little different because he was drafted number one. But Baker Mayfield, you know, bounced around a bunch of teams. But he kept at it. Now he's really good with Tampa.
I think the Johnny Manziel example, minus all of the drug and off the field stuff like that.
Right.
Isn't not a bad comparison because from what we've learned from afar, from, you know, the father's well off, you know, great athlete, but, you know, didn't necessarily have this burning desire to be some NFL star. Didn't need to. And since he's retired, just plays golf and, you know, is having a great life.
Didn't we learn that the father wasn't as well off as it was portrayed?
Maybe.
Was it a house of financial house of cards?
I don't remember. I don't know that. If you say so.
I don't know.
If you say so, I believe you. But my understanding was he was a country club kid that, you know, wasn't necessarily
but if you
financially motivated.
Have a huge ego and you act like it when you go meet with these coaching staffs. For you not to make the team and be a fifth round, that's the biggest shot to your ego. Mm-hmm. I would think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, financially, obviously Deion's got money, but it goes way beyond that. He's got to know this is his chance to prove everyone wrong. And I can't imagine him just saying, eh, you know what, if I make the team, whatever, I'm still good financially.
Oh, no.
I think he's going to try his ass off now because.
Maybe.
Because he went in the fifth round. And that's the biggest ego shot in the world.
But you might not know what trying your ass off really is.
Yeah, we don't know what's inside him. Like Dylan Gabriel, who was drafted in the third round, what I heard about him is that the staff, like in the buildings mm-hmm. where he was, you know, looking at film, told him, you got to get out of here. We close at 10:30.
Right.
Like he's like legitimately mm-hmm. last guy there. Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to outwork that guy?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to find out.
My early guess would be no. He's probably not going to outwork Dylan Gabriel. And you're probably going to see the results.
And if he doesn't, it's a huge embarrassment
right.
for that family, including Deion.
All right, we're going to take care of the 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to get a four-pack of tickets to see the Nationals Friday, May 9th, as they take on St. Louis. Come for the baseball, stay for the beats. Back by popular demand, the Nats postgame summer concert series is your chance to experience a concert for free with your game ticket. Concerts begin approximately 30 minutes following the final out. This game's postgame concert, our friends OAR are performing. So 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067 wins those tickets. Don't forget, in just about 20 minutes, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser joins the show.